Maundy Thursday is the first of the great 3 days of the Easter Triduum. The night before Jesus dies, he bequeaths to his followers intimate facets of his own ministry, which would mark them out as his brothers and sisters in the world, those who share his ministry in the midst of their own lives. I'm standing in the East Cloister of Westminster Abbey, one side of the great square which was the hub of monastic life before the Reformation. During monastic times, the abbot performed an annual Maundy rite on the stone benches here, where after washing feet, following Jesus' example, he would give 13 elderly men threepence, 7 red herrings, some ale, and 3 loaves of bread. Certainly since King John in the 13th century, monarchs too have performed similar Maundy ceremonies, demonstrating a care of and service for their people. Towards the end of Queen Victoria's reign, the Royal Maundy frequently came to Westminster, and it was last held here in 2011. Jesus gives us the great example of service, the hallmark of truly Christian living, the new commandment of love by which we should be known. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, whose beloved Son, Jesus Christ, commanded us to love one another as he has loved us, keep us so mindful of the needs and suffering of others that we may always be ready to show them compassion and, according to our ability, to relieve their wants, for the sake of the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from St. John's Gospel. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. "For this reason," he said, "not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet."
Little did we know on Ash Wednesday, when we started our Lenten disciplines, that many of us would end up denying ourselves something far more fundamental than alcohol or chocolate. Many people are now forced to fast, as it were, from physical contact. Even couples self-isolating at home, if they are considered especially vulnerable, are encouraged to keep a distance from one another, to sleep apart, to treat one another no longer as a potential source of affection, but infection. People are even dying without that final kiss, the holding of the hand, the embrace that communicates love. It's truly heartbreaking. I have heard hopes expressed that when all this is over, people will have been reawakened to the importance of human contact. Can we hope that the tide of increasing isolation in our society, preferring the virtual to the real, the online to the alongside, the feeling that other people are always the problem and the more independent I can be of them, the better, that this might all begin to change? There is a danger, though, that our retreat from one another could just be accelerated by all this. We might get rather used to spending a lot less time in one another's company. It might prove so much easier, more efficient and cheaper in the long term to do all the communicating we need electronically, remotely. On Maundy Thursday, most churches would plan to hold an evening service which would recall three events from the evening before Christ was crucified. Three events that crystallized his message and set the pattern for the church's worship and mission for all time. We heard earlier how Jesus washed his disciples' feet, a very physical act, normally carried out by a servant or, more likely, a slave, hence Peter's horrified response. But Jesus insists that this is the pattern of service that he wants them to copy. It is simple, humble, and personal. Having given them this indelible image of humble and personal service, having got their attention, as it were, he gives them a commandment, a new commandment, the Mandatum Novum, which gives Maundy Thursday its name. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Simple, humble, personal. What St. John doesn't record, but what runs as a theme through his gospel, we pick up from the other three evangelists and from St. Paul. That on this night, the night on which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And that after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant." Simple things, humbly offered, personally meant. The traditional service on the evening of Maundy Thursday recalls and reenacts these three events: the washing of feet, the giving of the new commandment, and the sharing of the Last Supper, which is the institution of the Holy Eucharist. So Christ equips his church for all time to worship and to serve. It is an enormous challenge to be in a position where we cannot do what Christ told us to do, being set at a distance from one another and denied the opportunity to share the bread and wine that physically unites us as one body in Christ. Of course, there are other ways in which we can love and serve, ringing someone up for a chat, delivering groceries, and indeed by following the instruction to otherwise stay at home, leaving public transport free for those essential workers and reducing the burden on the NHS. In these circumstances, this is the loving thing to do. But as we reflect on the events of that evening in that upper room, let us note the sheer physicality of it. Real feet, real bodies, physical bread and wine being given personal significance. Many priests will continue to celebrate the Eucharist in their homes and are encouraged to tell their people that they're doing so. I hope this won't look like clerical self-indulgence, but a continuing reminder to those priests and to all the people of God that physical things still matter. Our faith is grounded in the Incarnation, on God who so loved the world that he became a full and physical part of it, personally present, with a touch that brought healing and hope. And when he was raised from the dead, it was physical, not ghostly. So while we have to do without physical contact, let us not in any sense get used to it. While we cannot receive the bread and wine, let us still hunger and thirst for them, in the knowledge that Christ is no less present to us now than he ever was, or is, or ever will be. Let us hunger for the physical touch that brings healing, comfort, and hope. Christopher Tye's motet, "Give alms of thy goods, sets an offertory sentence from the prayer books of 1549 and 1552. Give alms of thy goods, and turn never thy face from any poor man. It is sung here by the Abbey Choir.
Let us pray. O God of love, whose compassions fail not, we bring before you the sufferings of all the world, the sighing of the prisoners, the cries of the despairing, the pains of the sick and aged, the sorrows of the isolated and those who mourn. Comfort and relieve them, O Father, according to their several needs and your great mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Trusting in the promises of Jesus, who came not to be served but to serve, let us pray as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we pray for God's blessing, we commend to God's grace and protection the sick, the anxious, and all those who work so hard to keep us safe and keep us well. Christ crucified, draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.